This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
According to author and nutritionist Karen Fisher, 90% of parents have trouble convincing their children to eat healthy. Even though we know that eating habits from the early years can easily become lifelong habits, there's even some evidence now that what pregnant mothers eat can influence their child's tastes into adulthood. So how can we get our kids to eat healthy, or even better, get them to want to eat healthy? Karen Fisher is the author of Healthy Family, Happy Family, and she joins me now. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Katrina.
Why are kids so fussy, and how can we encourage them to be less fussy?
Well, parents should know that it's perfectly normal for children to be fussy. Mm. We've got so many food choices these days and so much advertising, you know, so there's food constantly in front of our children. So, you know, as a result, you know, they're either snacking too often or, you know, or they think they've got better options than the veggies and the steak for dinner. So,
yeah
so it's totally normal. You know, my daughter didn't eat her veggies for 2 years, and that's when I kind of had a bit of a wake-up call and thought, oh, I really should do something about this. I'm a nutritionist. So, yeah, hence the book came about.
So what have you actually changed in the way that you, I guess, manage your children's eating?
I stick to a routine for a start. I make sure they're not snacking too much throughout the day, so they are really hungry at mealtime. That one in itself, you know, works fantastic. And I just speak to them differently. I've replaced nagging and punishing them with veggies to letting them know in a fun, childlike manner that they get lots of benefits from eating their veggies, and it's got nothing to do with, you know, being healthy. It's got everything to do with their favourite hobbies and so forth.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, I call it healthy marketing. It's basically you observe your child and you work out what they love to do the most, whether it's if they want to swim like Ian Thorpe or be a ballet dancer or be good at computer games, and you link that to healthy eating. It's like my daughter always complained about being one of the shortest girls in her class, and I made her a casserole, lamb casserole one night, and she just didn't want to eat it. And I said, oh, that's a shame. You know, I've designed this recipe to help you grow taller. She's like, Mum, why haven't you been feeding me this more often? She put it down. And, I wasn't telling her a lie either, because population studies show that populations who eat meat grow taller. So I've just worded it in a way that, you know, she went, wow.
I'm really interested to hear that, Karen, because I was talking with my daughter about this. She's 3.5. And, you know, I asked her, well, What's a healthy food? And I said to her, you know, is broccoli healthy? And she said, yes. And I asked her, you know, is meat healthy? And she said, yes. And then I said, oh, what about chips? No, not healthy. And she brought up that issue of, well, if you want to be a ballet dancer, you've got to eat healthy. I was really amazed that that message actually was going in. Do we need to be worried about how often they eat and when they eat and how they eat? Or do we just need to be worried about what actually goes into their mouth?
Well, you know, I'd like to tell parents to not worry and take parenting a bit lighter than they have been, because parents worry constantly. But it's really important just to not give up. You know, not worry yourself into a frenzy and then give up. So, yeah, absolutely. Encourage your child to eat regular healthy meals and restrict junk food. I find the biggest problems that parents face is the junk food frenzy, the tantruming on the, you know, on the floor of the supermarket near the checkout queue where all the chocolates are. And it's such a simple solution to that. It's giving, you know, children the opportunity to choose a time during the week where they can have their favourite snack. You know, if they love chips, basically, you know, you can have a fried food Friday where you can have, you know, like fish and chips, or chocolate is Saturday after sport. So Saturday after sport is chocolate day. And when they're screaming for chocolate, you go, okay, look, we'll buy the chocolate bar now and we'll save it for Saturday after sport because that's chocolate day. And, you know, they'll probably complain a bit, but you keep saying your slogans, that's what I call them, is chocolate day is Saturday after sport. And pretty soon they'll be going, when's Saturday, Mum? You know, have we got the chocolate bar ready?
Yeah.
It works really well. Kids, you know, they know that some foods are bad for them. They know they're sometimes foods, but they want to know exactly when sometimes is and when they can expect their favourite treat.
Okay, well, let's talk about actual meal times. Do you actually have rules for meal times? Do they have to finish their food, or do they have to eat a certain number before they can get down, or are they allowed to be up and down like a yo-yo? How do you manage that?
You know, I never make my daughter finish everything on her plate. If she doesn't want it, she usually does, but I don't want to encourage overeating, because there is a lot of, you know, adults that I know that say, oh, I was forced to eat everything on my plate and I feel guilty if I don't, I'm overeating. So I don't encourage to, you know, make them eat everything on their plate. But be careful about the afternoon snack. Really restrict that. If your child's a fussy eater and not wanting to eat their veggies, you really need to, you know, maybe 3:30 in the afternoon is the latest time to give a snack. Don't give something really, really filling and heavy like dairy products or meat and heavy protein. That's going to kill their appetite. Give them something light, light like fruit, and maybe in the afternoon, just before dinner time, give them the carrot sticks. I recommend making up a wishing plate or a tasting plate where you put lots of different new foods and healthy stuff, and they can have a taste and make a wish after they've eaten a carrot stick. And young kids like that. So that's a good way to get veggies into them early. But yeah, absolutely, have them sit down at the dinner table. Let them know eating time's from 6:30 till 7:30, kitchen's closed at 7:30 or 8 o'clock or whatever, so you've got to eat within that time. And if a child not hungry and doesn't want to eat the whole lot, I usually say three more mouthfuls. Three more mouthfuls, and I want all the green stuff gone. The green veggies are absolutely the most important, according to all the research, especially the dark leafy greens and the cruciferous veggies like the broccoli. So if you make sure that they eat those most important ones and get those extra few mouthfuls in, then, you know, congratulate them. You know, praise them for eating most of their food and praise them for what they have actually eaten. You know, put a positive spin on it.
And what about the idea of dessert? If they eat their vegetables, do you let them have some yogurt or something as a dessert? Or is that getting into a bit of a negative thing where, you know, you've got to eat this and then you get that?
Look, I used to do, I was guilty of doing that years ago. And it's kind of like junk food marketing. It's like saying, you know, if you do something horrible like eat your veggies, you get the reward, which is the dessert. So you're kind of spruiking unhealthy food. So we want the reward to be the veggies, you know, help you be a really great dancer.
So in other words, if the veggies must be pretty disgusting because, you know, you've got to have a reward after you've eaten them,
Yeah, absolutely. It's just sending out that subtle negative message constantly where children kind of will always think it's a drag, where you want them to go, oh, well, you know, I've really got to eat like a green veggie every day, you know, because I really want to do well at netball on Saturday. And then you have your set dessert days, so they're not like going, well, what's for dessert? Before I eat my spinach, I want to know what's for dessert, which is what my daughter used to do.
I never mention dessert unless it's asked.
Yeah, that's great. It's good not to have it every day, because I know with my extra fussy children who have taught me so much is if they know that there's a dessert every day, they save some space. They don't actually eat all their dinner because they know dessert's coming. So dessert can be quite problematic with some children. If it's not, then that's fine, you know, to have dessert. But with fussy eaters, having them to, you know, set 2 or 3 days a week is quite a good routine to have.
It starts way back when they're little toddlers, I mean, or the babies. The baby doesn't eat their broccoli pure. So mum goes back and gets the pear one. I mean,
we've all done that, yes.
You can go back that far. Yeah. Now, in your book, you have 7 things that you should never do when trying to get your kids to eat healthy. Could you leave us with those 7 tips?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, one of them is not bribe them. And don't lie. You know, don't get caught lying, saying, oh, this is the best peach in the world, and then it actually tastes really ordinary. Taste the food first. Make sure you're giving them a quality carrot stick, or maybe peel it and see if it tastes nicer. Don't nag is another one, because it creates negative feelings around healthy food and you want to create fun, positive feelings. And don't ask what do you want for lunch in your lunchbox, because kids will not want, you know, if you're saying, oh, do you want a carrot stick, they're going to say no. So just pop it in their lunchbox, speak to the other parents and maybe get their best friend's mum to pop a carrot stick in on, you know, the same day, and so that, you know, they feel like they're not.
That's cluey.
It makes such a big difference. And another one is you don't hide spinach in chocolate muffins and things like that. That's hard work. And you want them to see the spinach. You want them to know that it helps you to be strong and do well at school and things like that. You want them to know the names of veggies for a start. And number 5, don't tell them you must eat all your veggies because they're healthy, because kids don't care about being healthy. It's not one of their goals. Use fun childlike language that's suitable for their age. I know my son's 2.5 and we just, you know, have dinosaur-sized bites, and then we'll have a daddy-sized bite and, you know, or a baby-sized bite, and then he'll eat a tiny bit of his food, and, you know, keep it good fun. Don't think that since the junk food's hidden in the cupboard that kids won't find it, because quite often they will. So if your child's always hassling for ice cream and things like that, try to not have it in the freezer for a little while and just say, oh, look, it's not there. They'll forget suddenly, and then maybe you can put it back in the freezer and they'll stop hassling for it instead of eating their green peas. And yeah, and we've covered the last one. Number 7 is if you eat all your veggies, you can have dessert. As I said, it, you know, puts a positive spin on dessert, a negative one on veggies, and we want the opposite, because we want, you know, basically our children will grow up one day and they'll leave home, and you don't want to be running over there at age 20 and mashing up their peas. So you know, you have to, you know, send them off into the world knowing that, you know, they get the benefits from healthy food. They get the clear skin, they're less likely to get depression, and you know, it's really important to have your kids growing up happy and healthy.
Sure. I think so much of what you were just saying does also come down to how you shop at the supermarket, doesn't it? I mean, if the chips aren't in the cupboard, they're not going to get eaten, are they? I mean, if you've got healthy food, they're going to have to eat something. So
yeah, absolutely. And it's important to also, you know, have a bunch of nice tasting recipes as well. That's one of my favourite things, is putting healthy food into a delicious recipe, because, you know, if it's not practical for parents, you're not really giving them great advice. If they can't actually put it into a recipe, that's one of the most important things, you know, quick, easy recipes, because parents are busy as well, and healthy cooking can happen quite quickly if you've got the right recipes.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for that. That's Karen Fisher. She's a nutritionist, and she's also the author of Healthy Family, Happy Family. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Katrina.
This morning I've been speaking with Karen Fisher. She's a nutritionist and she's the author of Healthy Family, Happy Family. And after we finished our chat, I thought I really should not let her go without first giving me a recipe. So, Karen, have you chosen a recipe that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I have, Katrina. It's the spaghetti bolognese. I call this the to die for double batch, and it cooks in under 35 minutes, and it tastes like it's been simmering for hours.
Oh, that sounds great! And kids love spaghetti bolognese, don't they?
They do, and they can actually see the veggies in this one, and I think that's really important as well.
Okay, and so what's in it?
Well, use extra virgin olive oil. 2 large brown onions diced, add in some garlic and a sprinkling of mixed dried herbs, just 500 grams or a packet of lean beef mince, and 2 cans of brown lentils. That's a fabulous secret ingredient where you use less meat and it's cheaper and it tastes really beautiful.
Yep.
4 cups of frozen diced veggies, like the veggies that have the broccoli core and carrot and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And 2 cans of tomato soup.
And do you leave those veggies in chunky, in big pieces?
Yeah, well, these are diced.
Oh, okay.
They're already diced, so you can see them, so they're not really chunky, but you can see them.
Mm.
2 cans of tomato soup, and you get the salt reduced, and this is my secret ingredient that gives it that hours of simmering taste.
Uh-huh.
1 cup of water, and then just a spaghetti pasta of choice, however much for your family.
Okay, and nutritionally, like, what's in that? I mean, you're still getting quite a bit of protein, aren't you?
Yeah, quite a bit of protein. And because you're using half the amount of beef mince, you're not only saving money, you're actually reducing the amount of saturated fat in the spaghetti bolognese. And the brown lentils are really beautiful. The canned ones, they stay together and they're very, very nice. And you just rinse those. And there's heaps of vegetables in there. But because it's got the rich tomato soup flavour, it's just got that really scrumptious taste. And I've tested it out on children who don't eat veggies, and they've loved it and asked for more. So, and you know, they can see all the bits in there, which is great.
Oh, that's good. Okay, thanks so much, Karen.
No worries. Oh, just the last part of the recipe, just chuck it all in together and cook it for 25 minutes.
That's amazing. 25 minutes. It's really cooked in that time?
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, thank you so much, Karen.
Great, thank you.
That's Karen Fisher. She's the author of Healthy Family, Happy Family, and that's her secret spaghetti bolognese recipe.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.